نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us in the Quran in Surah Ali Imran, in the last 10 surahs of these ayat, or in the last 10 ayats of this surah, these ayats in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he wanted to get up to make salat of tahajjud, or the salat of the night, when he woke up, he would recite these ayats from the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ ناس رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. Allah Ta'ala says, verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of the night and the day, verily in that is a sign for those who reflect, those who remember Allah while they are standing, and while they are sitting, and while they are lying on their side. They look at this creation, they ponder, and they say, O our Lord, verily you have not created all of this in falsehood. Verily you have created all of this with that which shows us that you are Al-Khaliq, Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar. When we look at Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's creation, ikhwan, we understand that Allah, our Lord, has names and characteristics that show us that He is Al-Hakim. And that in everything that He has created, there is some hikmah. In the creation of the night and the day, and the alternation of the night and the day, this tremendous phenomenon that takes place every single day. And when it takes place, no one hears a sound. And no one can duplicate it. And no one can prevent it or slow it down. And it is hikmah. 2 weeks ago, we were living in weather that was cold. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala brings to us this weather without anyone's help, without questioning anyone. And we didn't hear a sound. Verily in the alternations of the night and the day is a sign for those who reflect. When we look at Allah's creation, brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, we see that Allah Ta'ala does not do anything except that there's some wisdom attached to it. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran in another ayat, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلِ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. And a sign for them is the night. When we strip it from the day, and suddenly they are in the night time, they are in darkness. And another sign is the sun, who has been put on a course that she is running to go to her resting place. In that is the measurement of the one who is almighty, all wise. That's in the dunya, brothers and sisters in Al-Islam. That we find that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has hikmah in everything He does. For those of us who have accepted Islam, and we've lost loved ones, or we've been faced with calamities or catastrophes, there is some hikmah in that. And the fact that Allah Ta'ala has given us this weather, we see that these women have no shame and they go naked. There's some hikmah in the fact that you have to deal with that fitna. That's the dunya. As for the deen of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, even more so there's some hikmah. When Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala chose Muhammad to be the prophet, there's some hikmah in that choice. When He chose the Quran to be the last revelation, the Arabic language to be the last revelation, there's some hikmah in that. Medina and Mecca to be the holy places, there's some hikmah in that. Likewise, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala chose His companion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be the ones who carried the initial torch of Al-Islam, there's some hikmah in that. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala did not choose the companions who were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be his companions, except that there was some wisdom behind that. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said in an authentic effort that's been collected by Al-Imam Al-Hakim in his book Al-Mustadrak, he said, إن الله نظر في قلوب العباد فوجد قلب محمد خير قلوب العباد فاصطفاه لنفسه وابتعثه برسالته ثم نظر في قلوب العباد فوجد قلب أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خير قلوب العباد فجعلهم وزراء النبي يقاتلون على دينه. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, verily Allah looked at the hearts of the people and He found the best heart of all of the people was the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So He chose him, wastafahu, and He made him al-Mustafa, the chosen one. And He made him the one to carry His message. And then after that, Allah looked in the hearts of the people and found that the best hearts of the people after the Prophet were the hearts of his companions. The best hearts of the people after Muhammad, the hearts of the companions. So Allah made them his helpers to fight on his deen. This is wisdom. Had Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala chosen us the way we are to be the vanguard of Al-Islam, Islam would have been lost. He had to have chosen a people who were extraordinary, a special kind of man and woman, because they were Muslims at a time when Al-Islam was in the cradle. It was easy for the kuffar to extinguish the light of Al-Islam. So when Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala told them in the Quran, لِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنَ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, verily Allah has the right over the people that they make hajj to his house. Those people left Medina and they went to Mecca and they walked the distance. The distance from London to Manchester, they walked. When Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala told them in the Quran, قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا يَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, fight those who disbelieve in Allah on the last day. They walked from Medina to Tabuk. They walked on their legs from Medina to Tabuk, from London to Glasgow, on their feet. When Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala told these men, أَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, give in the cause of Allah. There were those who gave everything that they owned, who spent everything that they owned. So Allah picked them to be the companions, the vanguard of Islam. Had Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who doesn't do anything except that it has hikmah, had He chosen us. Allah tells the Muslim today, leave your beard. The Muslim of today, he can't leave his beard. He has to cut it. A small sacrifice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Muslim woman today, wear the proper hijab. Don't go outside exposing yourself. She says, no, I reject that. I'm going to go out anywhere I want to go. Allah ta'ala orders us to make salat al-fajr on time. We can't even make it on time in our houses. Not to mention walking to the masjid. They walked to Tabuk, to Gaza. It would have not been hikmah had Allah chosen us to be the companions, or chosen us to be the people to carry the deen at the initial stages. We would have lost it. So when we look at the Quran because of that, we find that Allah Ta'ala has given these companions an exalted station in Al-Islam. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم في إحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. The vanguard of Islam, the first people who accepted Islam from the Muhajirin and the Ansar, and those who followed them in goodness, Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah. And He has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow. They will remain therein, in Jannah forever. And that is the true victory. Allah has established in this ayah that the companions are in paradise. Allah has established in this ayah that He is pleased with the companions. For those of you who don't read the Quran and who do not acquaint themselves with the Quran, Allah says in another ayah about the companions, showing us that He is pleased with them. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ ثُمَّ أَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. Verily Allah is pleased with the believers who gave you the bayah, O Muhammad, under the tree. And He knew what was in their heart. So He gave them sakinah. And He has given them a quick victory. This ayat was revealed when the Muslims, who were 1,400, went to visit the house of Allah. And the kuffar prevented them from visiting the house of Allah. And they decided amongst themselves to make a bayah with the Prophet, to fight and to kill the kuffar with those small numbers. Even though they weren't prepared for war. They didn't have their weapons for war. They didn't leave Medina to fight the people. They left Medina to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when the kuffar said against Islam, they said, we're going to put our lives on the line to protect and defend the deen. And Allah knew what was in their heart, so He gave them the sakinah and gave them a quick victory. For those of you who do not read the Quran and you don't know the virtues of the Sahaba, Allah Ta'ala tells us in another ayah of the Quran, محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآذروا فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا منهم وعملوا وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجر عظيمة. Verily Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are hard against the kuffar, merciful amongst themselves. You will see them making rukuk and sajda, making ibadah. Their signs are in their foreheads as a result of their sajda. That's the example in the Torah. Allah told the people of the Torah, the people of Musa, He told them this is the sign of Muhammad and his companions. So they knew about them before they came. And the example in the Injil, the book of Isa, is like that of a seed that has been planted. And the seed begins to grow. And it starts off small, and then it begins to get large and strong. Until finally the stem stands up by itself. The example of the Prophet and his daughter. He started off as one person, small. And then Allah blessed him with those companions. Until finally they stood up in defense of the deen. That Allah may use them against the kuffar. Verily Allah has promised those who believe and do righteous deeds from amongst them a tremendous war, forgiveness, and a tremendous reward. And finally, Ikhwan, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَعَةِ الْأُسْرَةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا كَادَ يَزِيغُ قُلُوبُ فَرِيقًا مِنْهُمْ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّهُ بِهِمْ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Verily Allah has forgiven the Prophet, and He has forgiven those people from the Mujahideen and the Ansar who followed Him in the hour of difficulty. They followed Him in the hour of difficulty. Why did Allah forgive them? Because there was a group of believers who their heart almost swerved from the way. So Allah forgave them, and He's going to give them a tremendous reward. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to go to Tabuk, the weather was hotter than this. They had to go from London to Glasgow. And there were two or three men sharing one animal. And they said, we used to have one date between us. One man would set the date for an hour, take it out of his mouth, and swallow what he saved from the spit, and give it to his brother. And then he'll set the date for another hour. Until finally the date was gone. And then they told who would eat the seed of the date. The hour of difficulty. Those people who participated in that war, Allah has forgiven them. Look at the ultimate sacrifice. The Prophet ﷺ told us, لَا تَسُبُّوا أَصْحَابِ فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ أَنَّ أَهَدُكُمْ أَنْفَقَ مِثْلَ أُهُدٍ ذَهَبَ مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّ أَهَدِهِمْ وَلَا نَصِيفًا. The Prophet said, do not curse my companion. Do not speak ill about my companion. Do not talk bad about my companion, for verily I swear by Allah, if one of you were to spend the size of Mount Uhud in gold, never would that be equal to a hand span of what they spent. Were not even a half of a hand, a handful. Many of you don't know what Mount Uhud looks like. But if you can imagine 1 million matches like Brixton, that's how big Mount Uhud is. And no one can imagine 1 million masjids like Brixton. Likewise, no one has the amount of money and gold like Uhud. Meaning, no one can spend what they spend. One date that one of them spent, he said, not is better than what any of us spend. One date, one grain of rice that they spent in the cause of Allah is greater than anything that we can spend. So with that being the case, ikhwan, it becomes wajib upon the Muslim to take as a principle in his deen that he should love these men, and that he should respect these men, and that he should honor these men. He loves and he respects and he honors them by recognizing the fact that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made their position and their station exalted in the Islam. He respects them by naming himself by their names when he comes to Islam. He takes one of their names, he names his children by them, he respects them by making dua for them. As Allah Ta'ala ordered him to do in the Qur'an. When Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا فَاسْتَبَّنَا اخْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. Those people who came after them, meaning us, they make a dua and they say, oh our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us in this deen. And do not have any rancor in our heart towards them. Make our heart the type of heart that we want good for them and we make dua for them. That's how we respect them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the good in this life and the good in the next life, and to make us of those people who are on the way of the Sahaba, thus becoming of the people who are successful. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تعالى لنا ولكم التوفيق والسداد. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. After hearing a few of the ayat from the Qur'an and one of the authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there are many ayats in the Qur'an that establish the virtues and the superiority of the Sahaba. And I'm sure that many of you are aware of those ayats. But we want you to imagine for 1 minute that this was the first time that you heard these ayat. You never heard them before. So being a person who believes in Allah and His Messenger in this Qur'an, after hearing that that's what Allah says in the Qur'an, what would be the opinion of the person who believes in this Qur'an that it is from Allah? What would be the opinion of the person when he hears that there are a group of people who are saying that all of the companions of the Prophet are kuffar except 5 or 6 of them? And those 5 or 6 who they say are Muslims, none of them had anything to do with bringing us this Qur'an. Only 5 or 6 are Muslims. The rest of them are kuffar. What should be the opinion of the Muslim who has heard these ayahs from the Qur'an? And then he comes to know that there are a Greek group of people who are saying, Umar ibn al-Khattab, al-Faruq, who was one of the people who made the ultimate sacrifices for al-Islam. Not any of you sitting in front of me, I'm sure all of you have memorized Qul Hu Allahu Ahad. All of you. You didn't memorize that surah because the Prophet came to you and gave it to you. You memorized it because Umar and people like Umar memorized it and then brought it together in the Qur'an, and then it reached us generation after generation. And that's why if you spend the size of Uhud in gold, you'll never ever equal what they spent, because they get your reward as well as the reward that they did by themselves. What's the opinion that we should take after hearing these ayahs? When we hear people say that Umar ibn Khattab was a man who had a sickness, he had a disease, and the only way that he can cure his disease was by allowing another man to have a relationship with him in his anus, and he had a relationship with another man through his mouth. What do we say about a people that this is their situation? Why do we make this point, Ikhwan? We make this point because unfortunately, we have people who have reverted back to al-Islam after being Christian and after getting high and being without guidance. Allah Ta'ala guides you to al-Islam. And then we come into the confusion that we find in front of us. And then there are those of us who allow ourselves to be tricked again by supporting the Shiites, by becoming Shiites. Now be fitting for one of us to come to al-Islam only to take the way of the Shiites. If in fact the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't know that all of these men were around him and they were kuffar, if he didn't know that, then verily that's a clear proof that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was jahil, because he allowed Muawiyah to write down the Quran. He allowed the Kafir to write down the Quran. He allowed Abu Bakr, he took his wife, his daughter married the daughter of a Kafir. What should be our opinion about a people who say that Aisha was a prostitute, and when the Prophet used to go on his expeditions, she used to let men come to her house to have sex with her, and they pay her money and leave while the Prophet was making jihad. So therefore, when their Mahdi comes, he's going to raise her out of the grave and then kill her for making zina. So we find that you brothers are lenient towards the Shiites. And we find that many of you have this attitude, all of the spokes in the wheel lead to the center. That's a lie. Islam, first of all, is not a wheel, so don't make that qiyas. And all of the ways don't lead to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It's a lie. If a man said that about your mother, who may be a Catholic, al-Islam allows you to stand up for the honor of your mother against a Muslim. If your mother was being talked about like they talk about Aisha, al-Islam allows you to stand up in defense of your mother. So what about our mothers, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? The people brought to our masjid a newsletter which is called the Muslim News. When you turn the pages of this masjid, of this magazine, this newsletter, all you find is Iran, Iran, Iran. The Muslim of Iran, the women in Iran, Iran, Iran. That has no right to be in our masjid. That has no right to be read by the Muslim. If a person is given himself to listening and to cooperating with the Shiites, the Rafida from them, then this person is helping to destroy al-Islam. This person is helping to disrespect the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. So we say to you brothers to beware. To beware and to read the Quran. For verily these people have a lot of tricks. One of the ways that they tricked us in America was that when those people took the embassy hostage in 1979 and they took the American Marines hostage, the first thing that the Iranians did was they let all of the black people go. And they said, you black people are oppressed in America and we have nothing against you. Go back to America and win your freedom and we're going to support you. Upon hearing that, people accepted Islam in America, black people. And the people already Muslims, they became Shiites. This is how we understand al-Islam. How can you possibly be in support of people who are staying with their saints? So we say to you brothers, as a fundamental principle of your iman and your belief and your creed, is that those people who curse the Prophet, those people who curse his companions, we say, La'natullah alayhim, as the Prophet said, whoever curses his companions, may Allah's curse be upon them. So beware, brothers and sisters in Al-Islam. Let's give those Sahabas their due respect. Let's give the Sahabas the love that they deserve. Let us realize that they made the ultimate sacrifices. Alhamdulillah that Allah didn't put that responsibility upon our shoulders. And after that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the Khulafa al-Rashideen, Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman and Ali, and upon the rest of the Sahabas. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to put in our heart rancor towards them and not to support the people who are against them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the good in this life and the next life. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله السداد والتوفيق.